to hand over to second speaker, who is Annie tonight.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm Annie, and I'm an addict. Hi. It's lovely to be back in this meeting because this is my home group for a long, long time, and I don't know how long it was, but ages. And so every Friday night, I'll trundle up here, and I was sitting there or sitting here or behind there doing the tea, and, you know, I loved it. But you know what's special tonight? It's lovely to see everyone that I know, but what is lovely is all the new people that I don't know that have come in the last couple of years, you know, since when I was here last. And to me, that's really special, because if all us oldies, which we've spoken around before, were the only bastards sitting in here, it'd be pretty boring, I tell you. God, because we've heard each other so many times. And you know, we're growing, we're getting more, and you know, there's always room for more addicts in recovery. You know, we've all been out there in the hell, and when we walk through the doors here, it's just something special. It was for me anyway, you know, and I've never looked back since my first meeting. And, you know, I've managed to stay clean through all adversity that life throws up, which some of them I'll tell you about, you know. And a bit like Jim, you know, I can't remember that far back. My clean time is 30th of November 1991. So, you know, it wasn't yesterday. It's quite a while back. And I was in a bit of a haze, I must say, when I got here. I got clean in a small country town in Victoria in Australia, and that's where I was at that time after lots of geographics, and as you can tell, I'm still doing them. They're great. They're really good for the soul. Don't be a cabbage, because you stay in one field and they'll chop your head off anyway, so keep moving. The bastards will get you. So whether you're sober, clean, or whatever you want to be, keep moving. So, I came over here when I was about 4.5 years. But I started off in that little place, you know, and the first night that I went to a meeting, which is still so special to me, and it wasn't in this fellowship, it was in the mothership. There wasn't this fellowship around so much in those days, and certainly not where I was, you know. I had to drive quite a long way to get to this first meeting, and what I'd done was I'd come off a real smack bender, and lots of alcohol had been mixed in there as well. Because if you put alcohol in the spoon with the smack, it's really good. It goes around quicker. So, no, I'd actually drank the alcohol. Don't go out there thinking you missed out. I can hear your brains. I can hear them. I know how you work. So anyway, I'd come off this big bender and I'd got home and I thought I was dead. I saw my face in the mirror and I thought, fuck, who's that? And realising it was a moi, so I thought, I better do something about this. I've been at it for 32 years. And, you know, done everything pretty much that any standing addict can do. In 32 years, you can do a lot of drugs, you know. From the 60s through to 91, oh, there was quite a lot. And I'm glad I did the 60s, I tell you, because your drugs now are shit. That's why I stopped. They were shit. Right? How much talcum powder can you put up your arm, really, you know, or whatever? So, no, that's not true. I came in because I was beaten from what, you know, everything I had done. And in that 32 years, I've tried to stop different times, but I didn't know how to stop. There's no way knowing I could stop on my own. But anyway, I dragged my sorry ass off to this meeting. The phone number was given to me through Lifeline, which is like the Samaritans here, who I'd rang and said that I had a bit of a problem. And they asked me what that problem was. And I said it was drugs. And they said, what's happening to you? And I said, well, I'm getting really sick. I didn't know that the problem meant that you had a problem. I thought it was just because it made you sick. That's the only problem that you had. I hadn't really thought any further than, you know, it's a problem. Because it wasn't a problem. It was only that I was sick of being sick. basically, and ODing and ended up in hospital and all those nasty little things that come with overuse. So I dragged me sorry ass off to this meeting, and it was quite a way. And Victoria is a very pretty state, and I had to drive around this mountain road to this logging town where the meeting was. And it was just sort of, the sun was setting, and all the sun was coming through the trees, you know, like it does, it glistens through the trees. And from that moment, I had hope, not knowing what I was going to be confronted with in this meeting. I had no idea. I'd never been to one. I'd never known anyone that had gone to one. I knew nothing about it, but there was something about that light. And because I'm pagan and I look for signs or they appear or whatever, I don't know. I don't give a shit. I thought, this is it for me. This looks like a good gig. They've got the board out. It's all sparkling. I'll go to it. And I pulled up, and they had horses tied up outside the meeting place. And there was all these big blokes talking about recipes because they all made cakes. They'd come off the cattle stations and whatever, and they were saying, oh, you mix a bit of sugar and butter together and you do this. I said, this must be like a cookery class. And when we were sitting in the room, there was another room that was closed, and you could hear all this laughter coming from this other room. And I said, who's in there? They said, oh, that's the Twisted Sisters. And it was an Al-Anon meeting that was next door. We were in one room, and Al-Anon was in the next room, and there was another room with Alateen kids, where my son did eventually go. He's done them all as well. He's done the rounds. Yeah, and I did my first meeting, and there was something about the people in there, you know. They were a bit bedraggled, some of them. They're a bit worse for wear. I like that. They weren't too posh. They were good. They were earthy people. And you know what? There was a buzz in that room that I feel in here tonight, the same buzz. And I'd been going to lots of parties in my time, but I hadn't felt that buzz for a long time. So whether it was exuding off of me or them, I don't know. Maybe a little mix of both, the excitement of going to get clean. I didn't know that it was total abstinence, because I mightn't have gone through that door at that point. I figured that these people would probably tell me how to use successfully. I probably was hoping that. I really didn't know anything about it. But when I listened that night, and I went back and listened again, and I went back and listened again, and I've continued to do that. I go back and listen. Because there's always someone in the room that's going to tell me how to do the next best thing, or something around that, you know. And sometimes I can help someone and say, this might work for you. I tried it and it wasn't too bad. Or don't do that. I did that and it was shit. You know, because I haven't got it right every time I've done it. You know, I've made loads of mistakes. And got myself into some little corners in recovery, you know. And if I didn't, I wouldn't be living life. I'd be just sitting in here. You know, like some people do. They'd go, oh, God, I've got to go to 3 meetings today. I haven't been one of those people, you know. I do my regular meetings, but fortunately I haven't had to sit in one every day, all day, because I listened to people that said, you know, do you want a better life? Do you want to get on with stuff, you know? And I didn't really know what that meant intellectually at that time, you know, or emotionally. I didn't have any idea. I had a young son at home. He was 11. He decided to pick up about 2 weeks into my, you know, going to meetings. I wouldn't say recovery at that stage. So that was difficult, you know, for mums that have got young kids that decide that they'll follow suit. And it took, you know, it's taken a lot of patience and different stuff, you know, but because they're affected, our kids are affected by this illness, whether they do it or they don't, there's still some shit will go down, you know. And I sort of respect that now. And you know, with my son, he's 34 now, and he's out at the moment. But he's okay. He's in that place, you know, and he get away with it. He's in the get away with it place, so that's cool by me. And he doesn't live with me, so that, who cares, you know. I cared a lot when he lived with me. I do care, but, you know, it's not my business. He's 34. And I've got a couple of other kids as well that don't have this illness. And one lives in Australia, and she's got 3 kids. And the middle one, I think I'll keep him a seat. But the other two are fine. You don't know, do you? You know, that's just the way it goes. And everyone finds this place when they're ready to find it, I think. You know, well, we're the proof of that. And while we're in here, when we get here, the thing is to keep your eye on that door and see who else is coming in. You know, I've noticed over the years, and this is a bit of a criticism, and I've done it myself, I'm so happy to see everyone, like I was tonight. I didn't really look at that door, who's coming in, shaking and rattling. I didn't, because I'm too busy focusing on me and seeing everyone, you know. But as a general rule, I always try and look at the door and who's coming in and if they need some support, because that's what happened to me. Someone held their hand out to me, I guess. I can't remember, but they would have, because I wouldn't have come back if they didn't do that. They didn't turn their back on me, that's for sure. They must have welcomed me in. I know they did that, but I can't remember how it worked. My head was too fuzzy at that time. But I kept going back, and people kept saying, come back and do service. I was literature secretary on my third week. Like, well, there's no one in Oz. You've got to do it. You don't have any choice. There's nobody for miles. So you've got to get on with it. Here, see, we can all get a bit pickety. Oh, you do it, she'll do it. So it goes, isn't it? No, I'm not doing it. I've got to be somewhere. I'm not bloody packing up the chairs. I'm too busy. I'm too important. Yeah, you might be. Do you know, you hear some of the gems when you're doing service. When you're packing up the chairs, you hear some of the best stuff that might keep you going for a week. It's a fact. You know, in the old days when we had ashtrays, no one wanted to empty the ashtray. They were fagging like beauties, you know. No one wanted to empty the bloody ashtrays. It was like home when they were like that. So no one wanted to do that. I used to go mad here about the coffee cups. They go over to Costa, big cup, boom. Leave it under the chair, kick it over, don't put it in the pot. I used to go mad about that all the time when I was secretary. I was supposed to tell them off. But it's about being part of this thing, you know, this wonderful thing that's happened for us. We're really, really lucky. And, you know, I think it's 2% that get clean, isn't it? Something like that with this method. I'm glad I'm in that bunch. I really am, you know, and I'm glad you are too. Because if I wouldn't be here if you weren't here. What would be the point? Me sitting here talking to myself. Years of that. You know, so it's nice to have an audience, isn't it? It's nice for someone go, hey, Eddie, woo, you did it, you know. So, I've had to work hard to stay here. To stay here for 22 and a bit years. Charlie's even older than me. He's about 500 years, I think. There's a few of us in the room that have been around, you know, in the 20-year slot. You've got to work really hard. I've got to work on this every day. But it's not the same as when I was trying to write the first step down, you know. It's not the same as that. It's about keeping it together enough to keep the rhythm going of my life today. And I have a really good life, of which I will inform you about in just a minute. When I was coming to this meeting on a regular basis, I lived in Hackney, downtown Hackney. It's the only place to live in London, I tell you. It's beautiful. I got housed there when I came over through crisis, when I came from Australia. I had never even been on middle class, me. Believe it or not, middle class, right? I had never been on a housing estate in my life. I've just got off the bloody plane from downtown Australia, homeless, destitute, 4.5 years clean, not a lot going on, really, you know. I did have a job. I got a job straight away. I still had my career, you know, so I was all right work-wise. They used to pay about $2 an hour, no minimum wage when I got here. That was that. I'd fight for that as well. Done it in Australia 30 years ago. You lot haven't even got it. Anyway, it happened. And so I was as poor as a church mouse, couldn't afford any rent or anything. I was in a sublet for a while, and crisis got me housed. How wonderful is that when you get those keys to the door, you know? And from there, I was working and doing my thing. And I worked as a nanny and with little short ones, little people. I love little people. They're so cool. And so it was a great job for me. And You know, I just did that for how many ever years. I think I was here for about 16 years, something like that. I lived in London. And then what happened is I'd worked past 60. I'm really, really old. I know I don't look it, but I am really, really old. I passed 60, I passed 65, and I thought, I need to pack in work. I've worked 50 bloody years I was a drug dealer in that time too, as well. Because you can't just live on one wage, can you? You need two. So it wasn't all smooth. I did do other things. I've been to prison and I have been institutionalised. You know, I'm a quite normal addict. I don't want you thinking, well, she's not a real addict. I don't want any of that going on. Anyway, I thought it's time for me to retire. So that's what I did. And my kids live down on the Kent coast, down at Broadstairs. And so I put in for a transfer and I got moved to Ramsgate. I've got this lovely flat, I've got a dog, I've got a cat, I've got a car. What else have I got? I've got a life. That's pretty amazing. I've got a life. And I was home for about a year, faffing around down there, buying neck curtains and all that stupid stuff that you think that you need and you knew. I didn't. I've got Hillary's blinds in anyway. I didn't get neck curtains. That's a lie. I had Hillary's come in and measure up, right? So I've got all these flash blinds. I've got a new chair, new armchair. Never had a fucking new one in my life. Got a new one now. And I thought, what am I going to do? So I'd been chatting to this guy in the Gambia. I know what you're thinking, but it's nothing like that. And straight away, aren't they? They're on there, aren't they? Straight away. Boy. So, anyway, we're chatting away online, and I was introduced to him through someone in the rooms, and he's a kora player, and I play djembe, and I do a bit of singing. So we've got chatting and all that sort of stuff, and he invited me out there, and I was really busy at the time. I was in New York, actually, and messing about, and my daughter and I went over there, and stuff was happening. My dad had died a few months before, and Pops had left me a bit of money. This is all right, and that the old man dies and leaves you a bit of cash, which was, I tell you, it was the most amazing thing, because when we were growing up, you know, I was born just after the war and everything was rationed and there wasn't very much and my dad looked after the money and all that stuff. But when he passed away, that means if your parents are really mean, you get an inheritance. That's the way it works, right? I used to say to Dad, go on another holiday. I'll only spend it when you go. So anyway, he left me this, and my brother, a bit of money. So I thought to myself, I'm going to get a project going. And I was going to go out and work with the orphan kids whose parents have died of AIDS just near where this compound is in the Gambia. And I thought, geez, I'm 67. Am I going to be chasing little kids around? And it's pretty dangerous there as well. So I went out there and went into this community, and they're all musicians. Like heritage musicians. So what I've got is a little mud house out there, corrugated roof, which had fallen in when I got there, so we've got a new roof on. I'm hoping there's a toilet going in soon. It's very rustic in the Gambia. You have a spade with you most of the time. So I'm hoping you'll all come out for holidays. Anyway, yeah, so I've got this little thing going out there. And what we're doing is inviting people over, for a fee, of course, to learn African music, which is the roots of it all. Like, I'm in seventh heaven out there playing African music. And I belong to a choir in... it's not a church choir, just in case you're wondering there that I've gone all holy or something. It's... We sing lots of African songs and lots of different songs. It's a singing group. So that all ties in, you know, with my retirement. So in December, I'm off for 2 months to the Gambia, and I'm taking my rag-ass son out there. Now, when I brought him to England, he was off his head, bag of dope we tried to take off him, and a didgeridoo. He figured going up to the old world was all you'd need. He's worse than me, that kid. Anyway, so now we're going over. We've brought the drums back and everything. We're going back to Africa for a couple of months and going to work at this thing, you know. And I've been lucky. I've got in touch with the malaria people and blah, 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 all the stuff that, you know, you do. And I'm reborn. How about that? Yeah, it's just about life going on. You know, how much longer have I got?
15 minutes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so this is my new little world, you know, of doing something else. Now, I don't know how it's going to go. I've got no idea. But what I know is that it's given me a purpose and it's fun. And I've had it, a big wall built, and I've got my dad's name on it. You know, it's a legacy to him. And he came from South Wales. He was a coal miner. He was down the pit when he was 15. And he got out of there when he was 18 because the war broke out. You know, and he worked hard and did lots of stuff and gave us a good life. You know, I said there wasn't much around, but it was a very solid life. It was good. And so, you know, doing this is in memory of him, because I've still got my new sofa. I've still got my car. What, you know, I'd only buy loads of shoes or something, you know. So waste it, basically, because I'm a bit like that. So I've got a little mud hut in the Gambia. So it's a win-win situation, isn't it? You know what I mean? So I'm really happy with that. I'll talk a little bit about how I got clean. Or not how I got clean. I've told you that. Just stuck my ass on a seat and listened is how I got clean. We didn't get any fancy pills in them days, I might add. None of that. Oh, I can't do it without another drug. Of course you can. I really obsess about that. I'm really, you know, it's very hard for people to get into rehabs now. They have to queue up, don't they? When I remember you used to go into City Road and someone would go, God, I've been in here 10 times. I said, why would you put yourself through that 10 times? It's not that salubrious, City Road, is it? I mean, if you're in the Hilton 10 times, yeah, top room at the Priory, I can understand it. But City Road, why would you keep going back? Anyway, that's the way of the addict, isn't it? Must all look lovely. I've heard, I did service in there for a long time anyway. So, you know, everyone's waiting for the miracle cure, aren't they now? And we didn't have the miracle cure. It wasn't around. I did go to Thailand and do the purge, though, I must say. Now, that is an interesting concept. I went there in 89 and it didn't work. I was sick for, 2 weeks or something, and I went back to Australia and started drinking tequila. So it worked in one way. You know, one drug was down, but there was another one waiting in line. And I did a lot of purging on tequila, I tell you. That one really got you. And I only used to eat the worm in the bottom of the bottle as well, so that was even worse. Yeah, that was me protein. That's really good protein. You can fly on them, no worries. If you suck them gently, you get that extra buzz. You know, don't you? Yeah, but what I had to do was the steps, you know, and I will talk about them. And my first sponsor was an American guy who, they co-sponsored me first in this little group, all these old codgers. And they used to say, God, one of these days there'll be an addict to walk through that door and be able to help you out. And there was, they said, we found you someone, he's an American, and he's one of your lot, because these are all old alkies, you see. Probably popped a few prescriptions, but they weren't like us. And they said, we found you someone as a sponsor. So I met up with Dr. John, and there's a guy that comes to this meeting regular. He's been coming here for years. He's not here tonight, so don't look around. He's not here. He's usually here. And his sponsors that first sponsor of mine in the US of A, which was quite amazing. He was out here, he does workshops and everything, this American sponsor. And I said to him, do you know John S. from Louisiana, Lafayette, Louisiana? And he said, Yeah, I sponsor him. And I said, he was my first sponsor. How's that? All these miles apart and everything. And one of my really good friends who comes here has the same guy. You know, it's amazing how it all fits together. I love it. Anyway, I had to do my steps with him. What, you know, he said I could, so I did. And his missus was in Al-Anon, so he said, I don't hear anything about all your sex stuff. Tell the missus. So that was all right. We did everything else bar the sexual inventory. So I had to talk to her, that poor woman. I'm sure she'd never do that. One of the twisted sisters, I mean. She must have thought, you know, like you say, you shag there, you shag there, shag there, shag there. She thought, you were the type of woman that my husband was knocking around with. It wasn't me, I was in a different country. Because they're a little bit different than what we are. They're sort of straight, some of them. And anyway, she was a beautiful woman. And I got through my steps and everything. And then I came over to England and I thought, wow, I'll go to NA. There's a couple of people in the room, a couple of women in the room. Now, who went to those early meetings that I did. I'll tell you, NA then was pretty crazy. It was pretty crazy back in the day. There was a lot of angst going on, you know. I think NA has come into its own everywhere in the last probably 15 years. It really has. It's settled and, you know, it's got some momentum. People have stuck around and it's sort of solid. You know, it's like everything in the early days that we're not as solid as what they will become. I wasn't as solid as what I will become because, you know, you learn and all that stuff. And I found it really difficult when I first came. And believe it or not, people in London are not very friendly. I went up and asked someone once how to get to Sadler's Wells, and I was all done up in my best clobber and everything. And he must have thought I was going to rob him. And I found that really sort of, after Australia, where everyone talks to everyone, there you go, mate, all the time, and all these people were like, my gosh, you know, like so paranoid. I know the IRA had been here just previously, but everyone was so paranoid. And when you open your mouth and you're an Aussie, they think, God, there's another one of them. What, they're over here, up to no good. So, which most of us are, basically. But we've got a good work ethic, I think. That's, I was actually born here in England. I have made in England on my backside, actually. I am actually made here. And I'm a 10-pound migrant when I was a kid. So I've done the circle. You know, I haven't been a cabbage. I've kept going. And, back to the steps. So it took me a little while to find a sponsor. And then I found one, and she moved to bloody Cairns in Australia. Then I found another one. She moved to bloody Ireland. So they're all moving all the time. They're going. They're pissing off. They're moving me, abandoning me. And then the sponsor I have now, I've had for, oh, I don't know, bloody years we've been together. Longer than I was ever married anyway. I've been with my sponsor. Years we've been together. And she's a very strong woman. She's just great, you know. I love her to bits. And she don't take no mess. And I can't go, oh, I don't feel too good. She's going, fucking what? You know, whatever. And I'm a bit the same with my girls, you know. Like, don't dribble about it. Just get on with it, you know. Write the bloody stuff. Read the stuff. Live the stuff. Because the more you mess around and procrastinate over it, you're going to have to do it eventually if you want to stay here. If you want to stay in the club, you've got to do the work. It's the initiation. If you join the Hells Angels, you'd have to do initiation. This is no different, right? You've got to do it. You'll get some. When you get to about 20 years, you get some really dodgy tasks to do, though, but yeah, you'll be all right. No, that you do have to do the work, there's no doubt about it. Because I can't imagine me without a program. You couldn't imagine me without a program. Imagine that. You think I'm nuts now. You should see me, it's crazy, you know. I need foundation and basis and guidance and some sort of direction. I can't keep going straight ahead without somebody pulling me into line. It just doesn't work. My brain don't work that way. You know, it just doesn't. When I was in school as a kid, I'd always be looking out the window. And my son's the same. You know, I used to have to be up at school all the time. And they said to me once, "Do you know what, Mrs. Zambiezi? Your son, when he gets called to the headmaster's office, never comes straight here." And I thought, well, why would you? You're going to go the long way, aren't you? You know, you're going to have a fag before you go in. And I thought, this dude's nuts saying that my son should race down there. There's no way. And I never raced down the head teacher's office. You know, I was out of there if they called me up there. And I think I'm still the same, you know. I can think for myself, but it's nice to have a buffer, you know, someone that keeps you right size. You do all that for me, you know. Because I see, you know, I've seen lots of people come in and go. The ones that have stuck around, they're still crazy, and I love that. They've got good sense of humour, and we're all a bit mad, and we have bad days, and rah, 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 rah. But they're solid people, you know. You are all solid people. You really are, you know, because you're sitting here on a Friday night. And you'll go out tonight and over the weekend and do stuff, different stuff, but you're solid people. Because you have something in your life to fall back on, you know, your program. And you know what it's like when you don't do it. That's the point. That's why I love hanging around with you. So if I know you or I don't know you, I love you all, you know. It's really good. And I'm happy to be here tonight because I'm home, you know. I'm home with all of you. We've got 3 meetings in Thanet. 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning, Ramsgate. We'll be there tomorrow morning. Da, 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 da. And any of you want to come, and Mark too, any of you want to come down and visit. We were 1 year last week. We had cake. We have cake down there as well. We have cake, just the same as you, right? We have bag coffee and cake, just the same. And, you know, if you ever want to come down and visit and come and do, you know, tell us how wonderful your life is, please do. Get yourself a hotel room, though, first. No, there's been a few in the room that have come and stayed. It's lovely, you know, I love it. And, yeah, we have a Thursday night meeting, and we also have a Tuesday night meeting. 3 meetings we have. See how well you can be on 3 meetings. No, we get in the car and we go to other places, you know. It's okay. It's not like here, thank God. It's lovely. It's, you know, your recovery is where you are, and you utilise, you know, what is around you. But, you know, soak it up, you that have got lots of meetings, and remember us down the track that haven't got so many, or over in another country or wherever. We're all doing the same thing, and we're united by that. Thanks. Bye. Bye. Bye.